verses 23 and following. So if you'll open your Bible to Proverbs 4, we'll look at that a little bit further along tonight. And before I read, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for tonight. Praise you again for this time in the middle of each week that we can gather in this place, Lord, to fellowship with one another, to share concerns, to pray for one another, pray for those that have needs. Look into your word, Lord, as we're about to do right now, and pray for your help. Lord, be our teacher and our guide, and help us to glean from the scripture tonight what we need the most and what will glorify Jesus in our lives the most. So, Lord, we just commit ourselves to you now and ask that you reveal to us what we need to hear and desire to hear. And, Lord, conform us to the truth tonight. And we'll thank you and praise you for that and all the things that you do. Do ask you to forgive our many sins in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues. Froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We ask God to bless the word to us tonight. Calling this the path to purity. The path to purity. And we saw last week, first main point is that the heart must be kept. Second point that we'll get into here in a moment is when the heart is kept, certain things will follow. But for just quick review, the heart must be kept, and there's two things given to us here in verse 23. First of all, the diligence that's required. Keep thy heart with all diligence. And I said last week that kind of you can paraphrase that as above everything else you keep your heart. Now, let's remind ourselves that when the Bible talks about the heart, it's talking about not just the muscular organ that pumps our blood. In fact, it's not even referring to that in most cases. It's referring to the innermost being. It's referring to who and what we are. And particularly in the Hebrew mind, and we are in the Old Testament here, particularly in their mind, the heart was the seat of all emotions. And it was what identified a person, and it was also what their life was directed by. Wherever their heart was, then that's how they were directed, which is why Jesus says, for where your treasure is, what? There will your heart be also. And so we need to understand then that this is an extremely important admonition to us to keep our heart. And the reason is, again in verse 23, because out of it come the issues of life. And we talked about that last week. I won't go back all through that. But basically everything in our lives is affected by where our heart is and how we view life based on our heart attitude and the direction of our heart. So then tonight, I want to move to main point number two, when the heart is kept. So we're assuming now we know enough to know, we've been reminded of enough, that we know we need to keep our heart. When the heart is kept, there will be, particularly in this section of Scripture, three main things that come from that. The first one is there will be a putting away of certain things. The second one is there will be a pondering of the direction of our life, verse 26. And the third thing is there will be progress made, turning not to the right or the left, but inclusion there, by moving forward and not turning to the right or to the left. So, when the heart is kept, there will be, first of all, a putting away. Verse 24. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse. We know that, as James tells us, that the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison. And James goes on to say in chapter 3 there, men have been able to tame everything in the creation. Pretty much. There's a few things they haven't tamed. But for the most part, animals, so forth. But no man can tame the tongue, he says. And so when we are told to put away from us a froward mouth, A froward mouth means a prideful mouth. It means a harsh mouth, a know-it-all mouth, a critical speech. All those kind of things are wrapped up in it. But to be froward, which is a word we run across quite often in the Bible, especially in Proverbs. You'll see it a lot of times in Proverbs. To be froward doesn't mean forward. Sounds kind of like the same word, but it's not. To be froward means to be proud and boastful, haughty, arrogant, those kind of things. And so when the heart is kept, one of the things that will follow is that we won't be as likely to have a froward mouth, not to be as haughty and prideful in our speech when we keep our heart. Now let's look at a couple of New Testament passages that go along with this. First of all, in Ephesians chapter 4, if you want to follow me over there, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 21. If so be that you have heard him, that's heard Jesus, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Here is Paul's diagnosis of what is needful for the Christian and what can happen if the Christian does not follow suit in putting off the old man. Now, that means that that's something that requires action on our part, because the old man has been crucified. The Bible teaches us that. But the flesh is still with us, right? And so although the old man is crucified, in the sense of that old nature we had, there's still temptation, and the flesh still responds to those temptations many times in the wrong way, obviously, by committing sin. So when we're told to put away anything in general, not just a froward mouth, we've got to remember that's a New Testament truth as well. And it tells us in living out the gospel, there are things we're to put off, and then there are things we're to put on, both. Let's go over to the next letter of Paul there in Colossians. Well, after Philippians, that is. Let's go through Philippians to Colossians. And let's look at chapter 3 for a moment. Colossians 3, verse 9. Paul says, "Lie what not to one another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." So again, like I said, the Christian life is in large part about putting off and putting on. We continue to put off the old man, and we continue to put on the new man. Now, obviously that's a work of God and by His Spirit, and He does that. And so what we're called to do is realize that and walk in obedience to God as He reveals His truth, as we know Him from the Word, walk in obedience to that so that we will respond rightly to the work that God is doing in our heart to cause us to put off things we should and put on things we should. Okay? So, back to our passage in Proverbs then. A froward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. It's interesting, isn't it, that it seems like the whole focus of that verse is about the mouth. But again, we've already seen, we saw that in the teaching hour last week. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. We see it here as well. So again, whatever comes out of the mouth shows us what's going on in the heart. And someone may be able to put on a pretty good show of being spiritual, of pushing away any things that are sinful or they shouldn't be involved in. They may be able to do that to a certain extent, but once they open their mouth and something comes out that doesn't go along with Christianity, it may not necessarily mean they're not a Christian. Let me make sure we see that. However, it certainly may mean that they have not submitted their tongue and their speech to the Lord like they should have. And we all have to struggle with that. We all have to deal with that. And so that's why I think that here, when we're told to keep our heart, then the very first thing he says is, if you keep your heart, you will actively put away a froward mouth as much as you can. You'll not want to speak in a proud and haughty and hypocritical way. Okay? So, putting away, and then the second thing, verse 26 says, when the heart is kept, there will be a pondering. And that's a word we don't use nowadays much. We don't say, I will ponder what I will do tomorrow, right? But it's a good word because it does mean to think before you act. And not just quick thoughts, but really begin to run over in your mind what should be your best course of action, again, as a Christian. That's what we're talking about. The lost man's not going to ponder his way the way this is talking about. He can't, okay? Because he doesn't have the Spirit. But the Christian should and must ponder the path of our feet. That's what it says. And let all thy ways be established. So as there is a putting away of some things, there's also a pondering of our path. Path, of course, means day in and day out life, right? And so, ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Now, look at something with me. Here in chapter 5, the very next chapter here, should be on the same page on your Bible for most every Bible that you got. Verse 6 of chapter 5 says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Now, the warning here is about the strange woman, previously in the first few verses there of chapter 5, and talks about how you don't want to follow the strange woman, the woman that's ungodly and would lead you astray. And remember, and we'll see this, Lord willing, when we get to chapter 5 and look at some of the verses there. Not these, but some other verses. We'll see that the strange woman is not just to be defined as an adulterous woman that a man better not mess with. The strange woman is a picture of sin in general, of ungodliness in general, and of spiritual adultery. Okay. So, but notice, I want to call your attention to that. It says, if you follow that which causes you to commit spiritual adultery, that is, you're unfaithful in some ways to the Lord in your heart. We're not talking about physical relationship now. It doesn't have to be that. Remember what Jesus said? If you look on a woman to desire her, you've already committed adultery with her in your heart. That's just one thing. But that's true about a lot of things. If we think about it, if we desire it, whether we act on it or not, it's still sin. And so when verse 6 says, lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, it says if you get mixed up with following the temptations, giving in to those trials, those temptations that Satan puts before you and your flesh puts before you, if you give in to that, then you're not pondering the path of life. You're not thinking about it. And you see, that's the way that Satan and his hosts always get us, is to do a hurry-up job in putting something before us and make us, if they can, lead us at least to make a quick jump at something. We hadn't thought it out. And what might be the consequences, how the Lord might see that. We haven't prayed. We haven't gone to the Word. We haven't done anything like that. Something comes up, we say, okay, boom. And then we go, wow, shouldn't have said, done, or thought that. And so the speed of it is what we have to watch for, the quickness of how we are tempted. Now, there's another pondering here in chapter 5 also. Look over at verse 21. This is where God ponders about us. For the ways of a man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he, that is the Lord, pondereth all his, the man's, goings. God ponders your ways. Not because he doesn't know what you're going to do, okay? He's absolutely sovereign. He not only knows what you can do, he's sovereign over what you're going to do. But he says he ponders it because it's a lesson for us. It's telling us if God weighs, W-E-I-G-H, weighs, if he weighs our possible responses to things that come before us, then how much more should we do that? Right? How much more should we weigh the possibility? Well, this might go this way, it might go that way, I'm not sure, and so I need to hold up. I need to not act so quickly without prayer and consideration of what it might be. Ponder the path of your feet, let all your ways be established. The Old Testament prophet Haggai, in that little prophecy of his, I taught on that here a few years ago. Brother Eddie had me come down for a few days. But Haggai, three times to the people of God, has a statement he makes. He says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. And each time he's looking at something in their lives that they thought was okay. And God, through Haggai, saying, not okay. Or that they could justify certain things. And God, through Haggai, was saying, can't justify that. See, it's always good for us to say to ourselves and for others to say in love to us, if they think that we need to hear it, better consider your ways. Consider your ways. If you profess to know Christ, then you need to consider your ways about everything. Let all your ways be established, verse 26 says. And so that is what we're after. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 32, Deuteronomy 32, I'm just looking at one verse there, so if you just want to listen for it as I read it, that'll be fine. 32:29, God says, oh, that they, the people, were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. What's God saying? He said, oh, I desire that the people would be wise enough to consider where something that they're about to do ends up. Isn't it true, folks, that so many things that set us on a wrong course don't look like a wrong course at the beginning? They don't, a lot of times. They don't look like the wrong way to go until we get so far down, all of a sudden we realize it was the wrong way to go. And so that's why God is saying, oh, that my people would consider the latter end. And you say, well, what if I don't know the latter end? Then you better put the brakes on, right? Because it could be a bad end. We had better hold up if we don't know what the end will be. Also in 1 Samuel, and there's one other reference I'm going to give you here on this particular item. 1 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24. This is the admonition of Samuel to the people, and he says in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider or ponder how great things he hath done for you. See, that needs to be brought in too. When this verse in Proverbs says, ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established, a lot of that pondering needs to be us considering and remembering what God has done for us. Because the more we think on what Christ has done, that will help keep us from picking those wrong paths many times. When we consider how much we owe to the Savior, everything, then that can be a guard. It can put the brakes on our possible going down a path that we shouldn't. Ponder the path of your feet. Let your ways be established. So, back to our text one more time. Verse 27 says, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. When the heart is kept, there will be a putting away of certain things, sins. There will be a pondering over our path so that we won't take the wrong route. And there will be progress in our life. Spiritual, I'm talking about. Spiritual progress, maturity, greater sanctification, greater submission to the Lord, progress. And how is that achieved? You need to pick up 25 and put it with 27, because they really go together. So let's look at it that way. Let thine eyes look right on and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Now, if this was a political statement, we would say that Solomon is telling us to all be independents, right? He's saying, don't turn to the right, don't turn to the left. But that's not, of course, what he's talking about. What he's saying is there's a path of life that's a straight and narrow path, and anything on either side is not the path of life. So you don't want to turn to the right or the left, because either way, what are you doing? If you turn to the right or the left, it doesn't matter. What's happening is you're leaving the path, you see. You're leaving the path. And so if your eyes look right on and your eyelids straight before you, then you're a lot less likely to turn to one side or the other, because if you're looking straight ahead, you don't know what's on the left or right. It'd be most foolish for to be looking straight ahead and just go like that, right? Might be a hole. Could be anything. You see, we turn, when we do, off the right path because we've looked first. That's what happens. So we've looked, and then we turn. But the Bible says, don't do that. Look straight ahead. Folks, we can think of several examples in the Bible of how people would have been so much better off if they'd looked straight ahead. It would have been. Achan. Remember him? The Lord had told Joshua and the people, do not dare take anything of all the spoils of the people that you conquer. And Achan said, oh well, some of these clothes and bars of gold, that's not much. See, he looked off the path. What about Gehazi? Maybe not as much of a familiar name, but he was Elisha's servant. And when Naaman the Syrian was cured of his leprosy, he was going to pay the prophet. The prophet said, no, no, mm-mm. And so Gehazi followed him a little bit later down the road and said, yeah, you know, my master said we really do need a few things. And what happened? The leprosy of Naaman covered up Gehazi the rest of his days. See, he didn't look straight on. What about Lot's wife? That's a really good example, isn't it? She not only looked right or left, she turned all the way around and looked back. And so instead of, like her husband was able to be, instead of being, you know, a monument of mercy, because he got rescued, she became a statue of sin. Salt. If she just looked straight ahead, right? And then in the New Testament, what about Ananias and Sapphira? All they could see was they made a good pot of money off selling that land. And in order to be spiritual and make everybody like them, they decided they'd give a little pittance to the church. Now, what they gave was not the problem. The problem was they said that was the whole proceeds from the sale, that they gave every bit of it to the church. God killed both of them in the middle of church. They just look straight ahead and not turn to the right or the left. See. Now, I'm not saying all that to warn Christians in general, oh, you better watch out. God strike you dead if you... That's not the point. God doesn't do that with his people. But we may incur some difficulties and discipline of the Lord and things we'd rather not see happen in our life as Christians, if we turn to the right or the left. You have to stay on the path, folks. And it is not broad and easy, is it? It is narrow and rough. And as Jesus said, there's few that find it. So, we need to ponder our path so that we will be on the right one. A couple more verses and then we're finished and we'll spend our time in prayer. Job chapter 23. This is what we need to be able to say. Job 23, verse 11. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Now, Job couldn't have said that unless it was true. God would not have allowed him to get by with that unless he had certainly told the truth in purposing to walk in the right path. And then in the New Testament, Philippians 3. You're familiar with this, but let me read it to you. 13 and 14, Paul says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You cannot press toward the mark, folks, if you turn to the right or the left. You just can't do it. You've got to be singularly focused on the path that God has put us on. Ponder the path of your feet and your ways will be established. Amen? Amen. All right. God bless you. So let's pray tonight, among other things. Let's ask God to help us know that we many times are tempted to turn right or left. Ask God to help us keep our feet on the path, keep our eyes straight forward, put away a froward mouth, and trust Him and walk in obedience to Him. As He gives us the grace and strength to do it, that's the only way you can do it. If we try to muster ourselves up to, "I'm going to obey the Lord today," that'll run out of gasoline pretty quickly if it's in our own strength, won't it? We know that. But what I'm saying is there's got to be a commitment. There's got to be desire. And then when that's there and it's expressed, God will give the grace we need to fulfill that. As long as we tell Him, "Lord, I know I can't do it, but I want to do it. Help me do it. Help me stay on the path." He will. He'll do that. So let's pray that God will do that for us. And help us as a church to do that as well. We want to be on the right path as Georgetown Baptist Church. I'm not saying we're on the wrong. This church hadn't been on the wrong path. But I guess the way I'd put it is we want to make sure we stay on the right path. That path was marked out long ago for this dear church. And we need to stay on it and not let anything deter or hinder us from that, right? That's my desire for me and for all of us. So, all right. Anybody other word before we pray? Again, if the Lord prompts you to pray aloud, you're certainly welcome to do that. Let's ask God to
bless us well and care for the ones that are on our prayer list. All right, let's bow our heads. We want to stay on the right path. As I've just said, Georgetown Baptist Church has been on the right path. It is known across this country and even in other places in the world, it is known as a church that has been on the right path. God, we need You now more than ever in these dark times we're in to keep us on that path. Help us not to stray at all from the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving the brethren, carrying forth the word those who need to hear. Lord, we need You. We can't accomplish that in our own strength. It never is done in our own strength. And all the efforts to do it in the flesh will fail. God, we want to be used by You. Lord, while we're not a mega church, that doesn't matter. Your word has said that the little flock is fear not, because it's been the Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom. And so we rest in that and trust You. Lord, help us to stay on the right path as individuals, as families. unto behold my servant. We do well to quote that to ourselves every day throughout the day when we go to bed. Behold my servant, the Lord Jesus. The more we look on him, the less we will see the things that tempt us, the less we will see the things that hinder us, the more we will see the grace and strength that he provides. The power is ours through the gospel. Lord, thank you. Thank you for these dear people who are here tonight. And Lord, we pray your blessings and mercies on those that couldn't be with us tonight. Some are sick and couldn't be here. Some have other things in their lives going on that kept them from here. We just pray you'll bless them and care for them. Lord, we pray for our church.